We believe in God the Father. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in the Holy Spirit, and He's given us new life.
So today we're going to actually finish up. So we're ending our sermon series on the parables of Jesus. These were stories that Jesus taught. These we call these earthly stories with great heavenly meaning. And the reason that we chose to start this church and plant this church on these principles is because we're hearing the words of Jesus. We're not taking a book that someone wrote and say, how are we going to plant a church? What are we going to do? We're going to look at this is what Jesus said to these people at this moment and at this time to change the world. And that's what these parables did. They began to change the hearts of those who heard. And as he began to give them the understanding, because they were able to see the principles of Christianity, the principles of the kingdom of heaven in operation in their life through everyday situations that they went through. So for you and I, most likely we're not going to walk out the doors, right, and have three or four angels appear to us, right, and Jesus Christ is going to come down and look at us and we're going to be able to touch him and feel him. Probably not going to happen. If it does, hallelujah, I would pray that it would happen, right? Last week we said that if Jesus walked in those doors right now, how would we respond? I said some of us would probably fall on our face, some of us would probably shout and jump, probably some of us would be running around the building three or four times, right? So these stories that we're looking at, they're timeless. They just did not happen for that time. They're in the Word of God. God has placed them here for us to read and hear today so that we change our lives. Because we are an imperfect people born into an imperfect world. And it's by the grace of Jesus Christ, the grace of God through His Son who died upon the cross, that we can be changed. How many of you believe that? Right? That's the Gospel 101. So today, what we're going to do is we're going to finish up this series today. Really, this one is the end of this series on the parables of Jesus. It's really the introduction to our next series that we're going to have over the next 5 weeks. It's going to talk about prayer. So today, we're going to look at two parables. Both of these parables have to do with prayer. And church, my objective today is that when we leave, that we have a better understanding of what God's expectations for us when it comes to prayer. And what I'm going to do to you is when we finish this, is I'm calling us as a church, as we begin to look at the prayer and the messages on prayer, how Jesus taught us to pray, I want to challenge all of us to take even more time in our day to pray. If you get up in the morning and you set forth that first part of your day and you pray and begin to seek God's word, I know that God will begin to plan your day. You'll begin to see the hour stretch, because how many of you have enough time in the day to get stuff done? Not me, right? Probably not you either. So what we're going to do is we're going to call you to a time of prayer. Now, Jason, wave your hand. Jason, what he does is he's here on 30 minutes before service. He's meeting in a room. He's going back and says, I'm here to pray. I want to pray for you. I want to pray for the worship ministry. I want to pray for what God's going to do in the service. Because we need to be interceding and praying at all times. And some of our leaders are going back there in the morning and praying for a few minutes. So I'm going to challenge you, if you want to go back and pray between 9:30 and 10, don't stay back there past service time, because, you know, Don wants to make sure everybody's here when he's leading worship. Right? If you got to go for 5 minutes, go for 5 minutes, pray, and then come on back in here and love on each other. How many of us can do that? If you don't want to go back there and pray, it's okay. Find a place over here. We need to be a people about prayer. Now, we're looking at two parables today. It's the parable of the friend at midnight and the parable of the persistent widow. And both of these parables have to do with prayer. So I look at this and I say, now, if Jesus is going to tell two stories about one subject, one principle, one idea, then I think it's probably important that we take a look at it, right? So that's what we're going to do. We're going to look at these two parables today, and we're going to pray and ask God to show us what He's trying to say to us through these stories then and today about prayer. So let's begin. In Luke, we've been looking at the book of Luke, all this series. We're going to start in Luke chapter 11. This is the first story. We're going to start with verse 1. If you have your Bibles, please open them up and read. Your smartphones, dumb phones, Blackberries, whatever they are. Whatever you got, iPads, I don't know. It's all kind of devices. You can do that. It's up here on the screen as well. I encourage you to bring your Bibles and read the Word of God. Because we might lose power. What are we going to do then, right? So, that was a time to giggle. You guys are going to get it, I promise. You'll catch it. So let's look at this parable that Jesus begins to tell. Now Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples." Now we can read just that much right there and write a whole sermon on what's going on right here. I want you to visualize before we continue what's happening. These disciples have walked with Jesus. They have talked with Jesus. They have heard what he has to say. They've watched him perform miracles. They've gotten to know who he is. And as they're doing this, they're watching him do something on a regular basis. And we know as we read God's word, we see that it says sometimes that he would go away and he would pray. He was the example. He was given the example. So Jesus would go away and he would find a moment to pray. Now here's what's awesome about this. We know that Jesus Christ was God incarnate on heaven. So here we are, the Son of God is praying to his Father. What an awesome example. So his disciples are watching this happen. And one of them got nerve up one day, or got the courage and says, Jesus, hey, we see you going over and praying. We're watching you. We see you go over and you're speaking to the Father. You're speaking to God. We want to do that. Would you teach us how to do that? And this is what Jesus says. He says, when you pray, and that's going to be the title of our next series, starting next week for 5 weeks, called When You Pray. Say, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us this day, each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for ourselves forgive anyone or everyone who is indebted to us. Lead us not into temptation. Now this is a little different than what's in Matthew chapter 6. We know in Matthew chapter 6, Matthew writes in a lot more detail than what Luke is writing. Maybe Luke got distracted at this moment, I don't know. But Matthew, and we'll be looking at the book of Matthew as we continue next week. But he tells them what to pray. And then he says this. After he told them what to say, he says, when you pray, say, and we all know the Lord's Prayer. Then he goes into this story. He says, which of you who has a friend will go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has arrived on a journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within, inside the house there. He will say, do not bother me. The door is shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, though, he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend. What a friend. He is not going to give up and give him anything because he is his friend. Now, let me just pause there real quick. I'm your friend. Matter of fact, I love each and every one of you. I pray for you every single day. But if you come knocking on my door at midnight asking for a loaf of bread, I'm probably not going to give up and give you a loaf of bread. I'm probably not going to call you my friend at the moment. I'm probably going to call the police. There's somebody crazy outside banging on the door. That was funny, by the way. Well, y'all are going to get it, I promise. I love that line. I tell you, though, he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend. Yet because of his impudence or persistence or perseverance, he will rise up and give him whatever he needs. I will tell you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will he give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? That's a beautiful story. Let's look over to the next parable in chapter 18 of Luke. We're going to begin there in verse number 1. Here's another parable that Jesus tells. It's about the same thing, the same principles. And he told them a parable to the effect that they ought to always pray and not lose heart. He said, in a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected men. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, give me justice against my adversaries. Now for a while he refused, but afterward he said to himself, we've heard that statement before, right? He said to himself, this has gotten down to his heart now. He says, though I neither fear God nor respect men, he says, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I love that word bothering, right? I will give her justice so that she will not beat me down by continually coming. And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge says, and he will not, and will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. So the idea that I want us to grab a hold of today is this. Something happens when you and I pray that will only happen when we pray. What? That's a funny statement. Yes. Something happens when we pray, George, that only happens when we pray. So here's my question. Why do we pray? Why? You don't have to answer it out loud. It's answered in your heart. Why do we pray? What is the purpose? Why are we praying? Now, I'm going to tell you how I used to pray and still find myself praying. And this is probably, some of you probably pray the same way. You probably pray, Lord, I've got this list. Here's a list of things that I need answered. So, Lord, I'm going to come to you and I'm going to pray. And I'm going to believe you're going to answer those prayers. Another question is, when are we supposed to pray? See, I like what Luke is writing here. See, he writes these two stories. And he's telling you, he says, listen, when you pray, you need to have the prayer life that is praying with persistence. Praying that you believe you're going to get the answer to your prayers and you're never, never, never going to give up. How many of us pray that way? Right? How many of us pray that way? I've learned to pray that way. So how do you want to have that prayer life? Say, well, Pastor, I'd love to have that kind of prayer life. Oh, I would too, and I'm not quite there yet. I'm still working on it. So if you feel like I'm a work in progress, Pastor's a work in progress. So as I begin to read this, I believe there's two principles that Luke tells us. Luke is saying, if you want to know, I'm telling you this story, what Jesus says, if you want to know how to have the prayer life where you never give up, I'm going to show you how it is. And as we read this, there's two principles. I believe Jesus is trying to get across to those who are listening about prayer. And here's the first one. Number one, come to the conclusion that we must have nowhere else to go. Now see, this is a common thread in both of these stories. Both of these stories show someone who has nowhere else to go. Jesus is using these examples as he's teaching them to pray. Remember now, he just told them, when you pray, say. He gave them the Lord's Prayer, and then he tells them the story. This is what's powerful about these parables and these stories that he taught is because there's principles that we can apply to our life. See, we have to find ourselves at a place when we come to pray that we have nowhere else to go. Think about the stories. See, here's this friend. He has friends or guests who show up at midnight. So it was the custom that when a friend would show up, no matter what time they showed up to your house, you're to give them something to eat. You're supposed to have bread on the table. Let me see, what else? Maybe the Italians, right? Maybe some pasta, some olives, you know, some of that scallion bread. You're supposed to have something for them to eat because they probably traveled a long way. They walked. They were probably dusty, or they rode an animal, a donkey, or something. They just didn't pick up their phone and say, oh, hey, we're coming over. We'll be there in 5 minutes. That's not the way it worked. Matter of fact, they probably didn't even know their friend was coming until they got there. And they had a long journey to get there. So Jesus is telling the story. He says, so here this man is now. His friends show up, and he's got nothing to eat. Because most of the time in this era, this time of Israel here, they did all their bread baking, say that with me together, bread baking in the morning. So they would get up, they would bake the bread that they needed for the day, and usually by the end of the day, there probably wasn't much left, or if anything, maybe a loaf, half a loaf, something was probably left over. And so he goes to his neighbor's house, and he says, they're banging on the door. He says, hey, I've got nothing. The kids came in after school and took the last half a loaf of bread and ran off outside to play, and they ate it. I've got nothing left. So what do you think? The friend, was he upset? Absolutely. Was he ready to get up out of the bed to give him something? No. He said, I'm asleep in bed with the kids. I am not getting up, and I'm not coming over there. I'm not opening the door to give you anything. But the persistence of the friend, because if this friend did not get something to feed the family and guests who were coming, it was scandalous. All of a sudden, the only way he was going to save face, the only way that he was going to be able to recover and keep his reputation in order was that he gave something for them to eat. So he kept knocking and knocking and knocking and knocking and knocking. And finally, after a while, the friend who's in bed says, well, if I do not get up and go over here and open this door and give this man what I've got, he will not go away. Persistence. This friend had nowhere else to go. That's the way he's teaching his disciples. He's teaching us. That's the way you need to pray. We look at the story in Luke 18 of the persistent widow. What I love about this story is that Jesus is using this storytelling where he takes something of the opposite to prove a point. So he says that this widow who came to a judge, he says that he neither feared God nor respected men. This means that he was probably not a righteous judge. I mean, he was probably a bad judge. He was probably in with the mafia. I don't know. But this widow kept coming to him and saying, I'm going to keep coming to you until you help me. Now, what about this story is about the widow is, it was the case for a widow whose husband was deceased. It wasn't the judge's responsibility to care for that widow. In this time, when the husband passed away, it was the responsibility of the deceased husband's brother or family to go take care of the widow. Or her children, if she had any, to take care of her. So we see in this story, if she's going to a judge and says that she has no one, that means she either the deceased husband either had no brother and she had no kids. So here she is all alone. She's by herself. And she's up against some adversaries. Someone's coming against her in some way. So she goes to this judge and she keeps going and she keeps going and she keeps going. And finally this judge says, he says, I've had enough. If I don't give her what she wants, she's going to keep coming. She's going to keep coming. She's going to keep coming. So what does he do? He judges, he helps her, and now she doesn't return. At least for a while, we don't know. But here, in her case, again, she had nowhere else to go. See, God never is upset when we pray to him. Now, let me just tell you this quote from Mother Teresa. She says, in a quote, and I love this quote, you never know how much you need Jesus until Jesus is all you have. With boldness, both of these two people, the friend and the widow, went and sought after what they needed because they had nowhere else to go. Is that the way we pray? Do we go into our time of prayer praying that we don't have anywhere else to go? Now, here's something, let me tell you this, between a mature Christian and an immature Christian, or a believer. Let's use the word believer. A believer who has just come to Christ. At that moment, as we talked about, you remember the story of the lost son who returned home to his father? He had nowhere else to go. He came home to his father. Well, the older brother was there the whole time and really had a really bad attitude about what was happening. But see, many times when we go to pray, sometimes we have somewhere else to go. You remember the story I told when we were down to the last job and nothing was in sight, and I began to pray. And I began to go, okay, Lord, I'm praying. I need to know how to pray here. And I went and looked in his word, and I remember reading these stories, saying, I'm not going to give up. I'm going to keep praying. I'm going to keep praying. Down to the last day, the prayer was answered. But I could have had somewhere else to go. I could have gone and asked somebody for some money, or I could have gone and gotten a loan and got myself more into debt. Because sometimes we as Christians, we might have somewhere else to go, but we choose not to go because we know that we need to go unto Jesus. Because when we pick him first, We go to Jesus first with the attitude that says, I have nowhere else to go. When I pray, he says, now you've come. And I believe he'll answer those prayers. It's in Scripture. This principle is in Scripture. I want to read this to you. It's in the book of John. John chapter 6. Now John picks up his writing of the stories. He picks it up in about the third year of Jesus' ministry on this earth. Where Matthew and Luke, they're beginning at the very beginning. They tell the whole story in genealogy, his birth. John picks it up. And he says it's about Jesus' third ministry around there on the earth. So the disciples now have been walking with him for 3 years. 2.5, 3 years, somewhere around there. They've gotten to know him. They know who he is. They've heard what he's had to say. So in John chapter 6, we'll start with verse 63. This is a very important intersection between Jesus and the disciples. This is where the big decision was made. Of whether I'm going to continue on with this man who I believe is the Son of God or I'm not. I'm going to read this to you. It says, in the Spirit who gives life. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is no help at all. Now that is true. Right? We found ourselves there sometimes. The flesh is no help at all. The words that I have spoken to you are Spirit and life. Now Jesus is speaking to his disciples. Not just the 12. Now you got to remember at this point in his walk on this earth and his ministry, he had chosen 12 disciples, but there were hundreds of them who decided to follow him. So when he went from place to place, there were many disciples who were following. And he says, but there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning those who would believe and those who would not. And he said, this is why I told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted him by the Father. And look at what happens next. After this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer went with him. They had other options. They had somewhere else to go. They're probably thinking to themselves, what's this guy talking about? Right? They heard the teachings. They're probably saying to themselves, okay, now he's telling us now it's about to get hard here. It's about to happen. They're thinking to themselves, I've heard him say that we're to drink his blood and eat his flesh. What's that mean? Well, I don't understand that, they're saying. Or he's telling us that I'm supposed to take up my cross and follow him. Follow him where? This is probably going through their mind. Lose my life so I can find it? What does that mean? In their hearts and minds, they had not comprehended with their spirit and their heart what Jesus was saying. It was too much. And what do? They left. They had other options, they had other places to go, and as disciples, they turned and they left Jesus. Here's you and I. Verse 67. So Jesus said to the 12, do you want to go as well? He's telling them, say, do you want to leave? Are you ready to leave me now? But Simon Peter answered him and says, Lord, to whom shall we go? Where are we going to go? He got it. He says, I have nowhere else to go. You are it, Jesus. And that's what he's telling us in these two parables about prayer is we have had to get into our hearts that he's the only option. We have nowhere else to go but unto Jesus. That's what he's making. Here's the second principle. The second principle is that we must have complete faith. The key is complete faith. And Luke, as we looked at that story there in Luke 18, I don't know if I read the last part of it, but it says this. It says, when the Son of Man comes, he asks the question, will he find faith on the earth? What do you think he's talking about? When the Son of Man comes, what is he talking about? He's talking about you. He's talking about me. It's when he's coming back. When Jesus Christ comes back to this earth to take home his church, to take the bride home to the Father, he's saying this, will I find faith when I come? Because I know that there's probably going to be other options in the world. Are they going to continue to look at me as their only option? Are they going to have the faith to believe that I am who I said that I am? Look around the world today. Look around. Listen. There's many books, there's many authors, there's many teachers. They're trying to teach a lot of things. You can read 100 books about prayer. Let me tell you this principle. There is no new way to pray. Jesus said this. He says, when you pray, if you want to know how to pray, you pray the way Jesus taught you to pray. You don't need another gimmick. You don't need another way. He is the way. He said, you pray, and this is what's going to happen. And we're going to take 5 weeks, and we're going to look at that and break it down line by line by line. So what he's saying here is, he says, we need to have complete faith. Who's he going to find? I want to read you this quote from a friend of mine. He says this about faith, because there's thousands of definitions of faith, right? There's thousands of theological ideas and debates that go on about what faith is really all about. He says, it seems that faith has become this complex and complicated theological idea that only a few brilliant scholars can really get their arms and minds around, and the rest of us are just hanging on by a thread. That sounds complicated, doesn't it? Does this quote sound pretty complicated about faith? Faith is simple. What do we know about faith? Well, when we pray, and I told you earlier, that list, remember? How do we pray sometimes? We go down that list and have faith to believe. It's okay to pray that way. I just want you to know. This is not a message about changing praying for things that you need in your life. That's okay. Remember, Jesus Christ says in Matthew, he says, and again I say to you, if any two of you agree on earth about anything they ask, it will be done. We also know the scripture says that in Hebrews that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So I know that it's okay for us to pray that way. But when it comes to faith, I think faith, the complete faith, has two parts. It's the faith to believe that when we pray, we're going to receive an answer to our prayers when we're praying about things. But here's the second part of that faith. And we're going to look at it with Abraham. In the book of Romans, Paul is writing and he's talking about faith. He's talking about the fathers who have gone before. He begins to talk about Abraham. Remember the story of Abraham, right? When Abraham, God came to Abraham and gave him a promise. He says, Abraham, you're going to be the father of a great nation. I'm going to give you a son. Abraham and Sarah had no children. And she was up in age and she got older. Did Abraham stand upon that promise? Yes. Now, he tried to do things his own way. He had other options, right? Even while he was believing that God was going to answer his prayers, he says, oh, well, here's another option. Sarah came and says, well, here's an option. Let me give you this option. And we know how that ended. We know how that went. But Abraham began to believe and have faith that God was going to answer his prayer, give him the promise that he had promised him. You see, faith wants to work on us from the inside out. Prayer is not just having faith in what we're praying for, but having faith in who we're praying to. See, this is what was happening with Abraham. As Abraham began to pray, and we look here in Romans chapter 4, verse 20 and 21. Let me just read this to you. It says, no unbelief made him waver concerning the promise of God. He's talking about Abraham. What was the promise? We know that the promise was God was going to give him a son. God was going to make him the father of a nation. His descendants were going to be like the sands of the sea on the beaches and the stars in the heavens. So much that you could never number them. But he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. This is how I think Abraham began to pray. Worship team, you can begin to make your way now. When Abraham prayed, Lord, I am believing for a son. I want you to catch this now. You promised me a son, and I know that a son is coming. But Lord, while I am waiting, one thing I want to know. I want to know that you are able. I want to know that you are good. I want to know that you are God. That what makes me wait worthwhile. That's why I keep praying to the Lord, because every time I pray, I believe this is Abraham, I am reminded how wide, how long, how high, how deep your love is for me. Abraham is probably saying, Lord, I know I heard your voice. I know what you promised me. I will not forget your promise. But in the meantime, while I am waiting, because I know that you're the only option I have at this point, while I am waiting for you, he says this, Show me who you are. Show me who you are. See, complete faith in that second principle is this. God wants us to come to Him and pray. God wants us to come to Him and pray boldly. He wants us to come to Him when we have needs. He wants us to come to Him when we're praying for something in our lives, when we're praying for someone else. He wants us to come into His presence boldly and pray. Pray like this, like there is nowhere else to go. Pray with perseverance and persistence. Pray, pray. And as you pray, here's that second part. He says this. He says, as you pray, I want you to know who I am. See, prayer is not just about us going and praying for something. Prayer is about us getting to know who that person is. God wants to know you. God wants to know me. He wants us to know who He is. And the only way we're going to be able to do that and begin to know is to read His Word. That's what we do. Read His Word. Study His Word. He says, you'll know me, but pray and I will show you who I am. Your answer is going to come. Your answer is going to come. It may not come when you think it is. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But that prayer will not be late. That answer will not be late. And while you're praying, while you're waiting, while you're persevering, while you're knocking on that door, while you're going to that judge, you begin to say, Lord, show me who you are. Show me who you are. Show me your goodness. Show me your kindness. Show me your love for me. What kind of relationship do you think that we would have as parents with our kids if the only time our children came and spoke to us was, Daddy, I need something. And they turned around and walked away. Oh, Daddy, can you do this for me? Daddy, can you do this for me? What kind of relationship will we have? How many times does a father and a mother and a parent want to sit down with their kids and say, I want to know who you are. I want you to know who I am, because as you begin to know me and you begin to know my heart, you know that all I want is good for you. All I want is to make sure that you're protected, that you're safe, that you've got everything that you need. And when you come to that conclusion, when you come to that place that you know, and you begin to know who God is, you know that your needs have been met. You know that He's going to meet and provide everything you have, because that's what He wants to do for you. He wants to see you walk in health. He wants to see every need you have be met. He wants to make sure that He's sending you where He wants you to go. And you're answering the call. That's what He wants. And as you're praying, you begin to say this, God, show me who you are. And as you pray, begin to read His Word. Show me who you are. Because as we walk through life, we're going to find ourselves in situations that are difficult. We're going to find ourselves, we're walking away. And we're moving away from His presence. We're moving away from Him. But you know what? It says it's His kindness that draws us to repentance. It's His kindness that draws us back into Him. Church, pray. Pray like there's nowhere else to go. And pray with complete faith, knowing that as you're waiting for your answer, God's going to show Himself to you.